This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And now Phil Hendry presents Behind the Scenes with Love Songs with Bob. Good evening and welcome to Love Songs with Bob. Are you lonely? Do you want to dedicate a song to that special someone? Well, this is the program for you, Love Songs with Bob. You can call us tonight and we'll dedicate a very special record to the one that you love. Just call us here on Love Songs with Bob. On the phone right now, I have Karen. And Karen, how are you doing this evening?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, Bob. Thank you.
I understand that you're far, far away from the one that you love. Is that correct?
Yeah. I want to dedicate How Deep Is Your Love to my husband, Jim, who is currently in Iraq fighting the Iraq war.
Well, to all of the men and women in our armed forces, this one's for you, from the people back home who love you. Thank you, Karen. Here it is. The Bee Gees, How Deep Is Your Love. This is Love Songs. I'm Bob.
All right, 10 seconds. We're clear, Bob. We gotta get another one, you want sushi? Well, let me ask you a question. How come you guys always offer sushi? Well, because you're a Chinaman. I'm Japanese. Why I don't... Because I'm not a Chinaman. If I'm Chinaman, I want a Japanese food. I want Chinese food. What is he, want some noodles? No, I don't want any noodles. Why don't you go get me a hamburger? We got some Peking duck over here. I don't want none of that. A guy ever come in here and do it? How about some egg roll? No egg roll! You know, we got to keep you happy because you got that great voice even though you're a Chinaman. Don't call me Chinaman, you're America. Live America! Guys, pip me off!
Hey, Bob, how about some hot and sour soup?
Will you get out of here already with a hot and sour? Go get me Fat Burger, Johnny Rocket, something like that. Go on, go on, go, 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 go.
All right.
Want fortune cookies with that? You smart ass! 20 seconds.
20 seconds, Bob. You'll let me make up your face.
Don't need makeup, you dumb slut. I'm already old. Call me a slut. Boy, we'd sue you for sexual harassment if you weren't making us millions. Yeah, Dory, you remember that too, Yankee man. You're my
savior. And we're back here on Love Songs with Bob. Isn't that a lovely song, How Deep Is Your Love? It's by the Bee Gees. This is Love Songs with Bob, and let's get back to our phone dedications. Jim, how are you tonight? Welcome to Love Songs with Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Bob, I want to hear a song that was very special to my wife and I when we got married. Oddly enough, it's also How Deep Is Your Love, which I know you just played for someone else. Would you mind playing it again?
Not at all, not at all. It's the only song we have. I'm just kidding, of course. We've got plenty of songs. I don't mind playing the same song again. This is for your wife?
It is for my wife.
And what is her name?
Her name's Karen. She thinks I'm in Iraq, but I'm actually here at home in the next bedroom. And
did she just call us?
Yes, she did. She just called and dedicated How Deep Is Your Love, and she thinks I'm in Iraq, but I'm actually here at home working on our taxes, and I want to play that for her to let her know that I'm just a room over.
All right, here it is. For you, Karen, you think your husband's in Iraq. He's actually doing the taxes in the office next door. And for all of the people out there who are lonely, Love Songs with Bob. The Bee Gees, How Deep Is Your Love.
All right, we're clear. Let me add something. Do I look like that much of a chump change? Schmuck, every time I want to get something to eat, you got to take a fortune cookie. I just naturally assume because you're a Chinaman. Forget about a Chinaman. Got a giveaway? I got
some pictures for you to autograph.
Tell you what you can do. Get me some broccoli and beef.
You got it.
All right.
Some pictures for you to autograph, Bob.
Okay. To you from Bob. To you from Bob. To you from Bob. To you from Bob. To you from Bob.
Maybe you can personalize them.
Screw that, man. I push like Jack Jimmy. Okay.
10 seconds.
All right, here we go.
That's a good sound. Wait a minute.
Go back to the song. What's going on? I got to get back into Bob Boys. I can't get the Bob Boys back. Get the Bob Boys back, okay? You Chinaman, you're out on your ass. Just call me a Chinaman. It's the only reason why you keep employed around here.
All right. 20 seconds.
All right, you're on.
Yeah, love song with the Bob. Oh, God.
What are you trying to do to me anyway? Mr. Jones, I don't know. You get on there and you start sounding like a white man. You're the light.
Rub Songs with Rob. Oh.
You mean Rub Songs? Get him out of here. Wait a minute. I can do it. Get him out of here. Bring in Eddie. And you
may not think, well, I don't know how to.
Just do it. The Chinaman isn't working out. You gotta send him back on the boat. Put him back in that container at Pedro and put him back on a ship.
Yes, the lovely songs of the Bee Gees. How deep is your love? Love songs.
It's Rub Songs.
I'm sorry, Rub Songs with Bob. Cause we're living in a world of
rules, breaking us down. What? When they all kill him, yeah.
Killer music. Wait, what are you doing to me now?
That's the Love Songs with Bob bit that you like so much.
Yeah, but I don't like all that Chinaman stuff.
Sorry, man.
God, it's all racially tinged with you. Can't you do anything just straight ahead? And what's with Bing Crosby beating his kids?
He did.
Well, do we gotta know about it?
It's in the news.
I'm watching you, Henry.
Is that it?
That's it.
All right, I want to get to some email here. Thank you very much, Bob.
You're welcome.
Rub Songs. 1-800-449-8686. Put him back in the cargo container at Pedro. Let's take a look at some email here. Phil, in an age when the budget for a stinker like Oliver Stone's Alexander tops $160 million, many folks feel that spending $40 million, privately donated or otherwise, on a presidential inauguration is ostentatious and over the top, not to mention just plain stupid. Maybe so, but after spending tens of millions on the 2005 Golden Globe Awards, perhaps Hollywood showed Mr. Bush and his supporters how to be really thrifty and tasteful by only spending $40 million on this year's Oscar Awards. Keep in mind, our presidential inauguration celebrates our country and our democracy and occurs only every 4 years. The Globes and Oscars celebrate themselves and happen every year. You do the math. Benjamin Sherrill, Woodland Hills. Boy, no kidding, man. Hear, hear. Har, har. All that crap. Ain't that the truth, man? So, in other words, that was privately donated bread for the presidential inauguration? A lot of that bread was privately donated. And some of it was, I suppose, came from the cop. Can't we celebrate the inauguration of a president? Without somebody bellyaching about the cost? We're getting so cheap. We are the cheapest bunch of people. I mean, for instance, yes, there's poverty. Well, we've already found out, I don't know how we're going to solve the poverty problem by giving people money. And yes, there is suffering. But nobody wants us to save that money so that we help illiterate people or guys that are eating out of, you know, dog food cans. They just want us to save the bread so the guy's got more jack to spend on, more gasoline for his SUV. That's all it's about.
How come I got to spend money on the inauguration when I'm,
Because, you have to. And the guy, that point either about the, how much did they spend? $160 million for Alexander? Did anybody go see that movie? Who was in that? Colin, what's his face? Farrell?
Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell, Alexander. Boy, talk about timely. Talk about relevant. Talk about, crap. Some 17-year-old gay kid who overran portions of Greece. I see. It's relevant because of the Iraq War. Aha! Oh, please, dude. Stone, you know what you need to do, man? You need to get laid. Another winner from Oliver Stone. Yay. Just go out. Find yourself. If Heidi Fleiss was still in town, it's just a phone call away, man. I ain't saying anything that she's selling. Maybe she'd give you a little. Just something, dude, because what's happening now is, and all of that ponderous, all of your ponderous discussion as to what it is you're trying to say with your movies, nobody knows. And worst of all, no one cares. Tell you what, you could have spent that $160 million on getting Barbara Bush, or Laura Bush, I should say, a proper dress. I'm joking. It's very lovely, and our First Lady looked fantastic. Blake Barley will be on to sing a, quote, satirical song, end quote, about the inauguration. Jim Rome will be along later. Gary Snail's computer show, Comb Over Boy, Bob Bakian, Harvey Wireman's senior chat, and also a follow-up on something that was brought up on our show last night by a young man who called saying, is it okay to say the name Edith Head? All ahead. Well, I just said that, didn't I?
Yeah.
On the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And now, Harvey Wireman's Senior Chat. Brought to you by Ace Hardware. And by Norwegian Cruise Line. Here's Harvey Wireman with Senior Chat.
Good evening. Welcome to Harvey Wireman's Senior Chat. Tonight I'm going to have a very special... Forgive me, I've still got the phlegm wedge. Could I get either water or a plastic bottle of Squirt? Squirt seems to loosen it.
Yes, sir, Mr. Wireman.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome to Harvey Wireman's Senior Chat. And tonight I have a very special guest. His name is Bill Hemingway. Bill is a retired electrical supply salesman, and he lives in Sherman Oaks, California. Bill, how are you?
Very fine. Thank you very much, Mr. Wireman.
Now, as you know, as a senior citizen, the proper way to make a left-hand turn in traffic is to do it from the far right-hand lane, don't signal, and when people flip you off, call you obscene names and honk their horn, stare straight ahead and scratch your nose. You didn't do that today, did you?
No, I didn't, and that's why I've come here for help.
What's wrong? What happened?
Yes, sir. I was making a left-hand turn off of... Originally, by the way, I come from Lowell, Massachusetts. I come out here, settled down after I was in the Korean conflict. I was in the 8th Air Force.
Yeah, sure. That's all fine and good, but let's get back to the problem at hand.
And what is that?
The fact that you made an improper left-hand turn. You're supposed to make the left-hand turn from the far right lane.
Yeah.
And when and not use your signal. Did you use your signal?
I did it all right, except some guy flipped me off, tossed me the bone, as we like to say. Or, you know, flipped me the bird, as, you know, what we would call toss me a bone. And I looked at him, and I kind of scratched my you know, I scratched between my legs instead.
All right, see, this is where you blew it. You are supposed to make a left-hand turn from the far right lane.
Right.
Don't signal. And when people scream and when you almost kill someone, stare straight ahead and scratch your nose. You scratched your...
Yeah, my thing.
Okay. And you acted as if you were concerned with them. You're not supposed to do that. Let's get some phone calls, though, Bill, because that's what we do here. Here is Mary. Mary?
Harvey. I got out of my car one day, and I found I'd drug a man about a mile. I thought it was garbage that had been stuck to the muffler, and it was a human body that was by that point certainly reduced to hamburger in a pair of pants. And I just went, huh, and I went into my house and unloaded my groceries.
Now, right there, Bill, do you hear that?
Yes, I do.
See, Bill... You're acting too concerned. You're acting as if you know what's going on around you.
But I did. I realized that I'd sort of made a mistake.
Well, how did you... What do you mean you realized you made a mistake? Don't you understand...
If I could, Harvey.
Go ahead.
When you make a left-hand turn, you're supposed to do it from six lanes over to the right.
Yeah?
You don't... He doesn't get it.
You don't...
Don't you make a left-hand turn from the left lane?
No, you don't make a left-hand turn from the left lane. You do it from a far right lane, almost murder human beings as you swing across traffic with no signal, and then when they want to rip your throat out and shove it into a garbage compactor, stare straight ahead, put a finger in your nose as if you're looking for a little bit of gold, and that's it.
But you're not supposed to show any concern or even consciousness.
Oh, okay. That was what I did wrong. I showed that I was sorry I made a mistake.
No, you don't make it. That's, you never show you're sorry you make a mistake. Mary, thanks so much for your call. Let's move to another caller. Clark, how are you?
Real good, old buddy. How you been?
I can't complain.
Look, you got a guy here, this guy Hemingway. How you doing, Bill?
Very... I mean, I'm not... Am I Bill yet?
No, you should do the...
Good.
Look, Bill, I'm an old Air Force guy myself, too. I was in the 7th Air Force, and let me tell you what, we probably ate a little bit of the few same dirt that you did. But I want to tell you that I got a situation. When I was coming home on the freeway the other night, all right, and I realized that my exit was coming up in 5 feet, and even though the signs had warned me that it would be about 3 miles, you know, and I could have gotten over, I made an immediate, sharp right-hand turn passing over six lanes of traffic. I took out the front grill of a guy's car, leapt over a median, all right, got airborne, came through a red light, knocked a woman and her dog into a front lawn of a house that was just adjacent to the light area, hit some parked cars, ran directly over a child on a bicycle, got home, settled into my recliner, and watched the lotto results. Okay? Now, the problem...
But he's not doing that.
Yeah, you're not doing that.
Well, I don't know if there's any help for you, Bill, other than to get back out there and try again.
Well, I'll do that. I'll go out tomorrow and I'll
See, just what you want to do is, what am I doing on the phone now?
I don't know. I'm confused. I was the caller.
Yes. Let me get back out of the phone.
All right, here I am. Now you get back in.
All right.
Is this better?
Yes. Are you still here, Bill?
I'm just wondering what do you want to do?
Harvey Wireman Senior Chat, brought to you each week at this time by the people at Alpo. Just good dog food.
Sweet Jesus, what am I doing in here?
You gotta get out of there because I'm the caller.
Well, let me get out. Someone get me out of the phone. GD it anyway.
There's Harvey Senior Chat, huh? How about that? Some old my... You know, I tell you something. You seniors out there who are good drivers, God bless you. And those of you who aren't, this isn't going to make any difference. You won't even hear me. But try and use a blinker. Just try. Try it. You might like it. I know that when you were younger, you probably were a great driver. I know everybody told you you were just, man. And I know it's gotten so much worse with all the traffic, and it wasn't like that when you were younger and blah, blah, blah. But the fact is the traffic is bad. It's getting worse and worse. And when you don't do things like use a blinker, when you're trying to make a left-hand turn from or 85 lanes over to the right, you know, and you're making like just a right-angle shot right across, you know, eight lanes of traffic, something bad's going to happen. So we're just simply requesting here at the Phil Hendry Show that you, in the name of everything holy, even if you do all those things wrong, when people honk at you and flip you off, acknowledge it. Just go, oh, you know, kind of look sheepish or feel bad. But don't sit there, as that gentleman did, and scratch your thing or stick a couple of knuckles up your nose and pick for gold. I mean, what is that about? You see, scratch your head like Stan Laurel. You know, take off your derby hat, scratch your fuzzy head, put it back on, and sit there and reminisce about Pearl Harbor. I don't know, but it's got to, as my old friend Daryl Weber used to say, it's just got to stop. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, by the way, we have Blake Barley, Jim Rome, Gary Snail's Computer Show, Comb Over Boy, and Bob Bakey and Reporting Live. Friday, January the 28th, All Request Show. We're going to try and do this at the end of every month. We'll have our All Request program. These are call requests. Do we have requests today? We do. All right, coming up, we will have, every day we have a request. Is that right, bud?
Yeah, we do, Mr. Henry. A guy right here, and it was by request.
Good. All right, so that's coming up after the break. We'll have our request, but on Friday, these are our email requests. On Friday, the 29th, we will have an all-phone request program. I beg your pardon?
28th.
No, it's the 29th.
Chris just said it's the 28th.
It's the 29th.
What date's it supposed to be, Chris?
Friday the 28th.
No, it's not. It's the 29th.
Look on a calendar.
Who are you yelling at?
Both of you guys.
I'm looking at a calendar, Friday the 28th.
It's Friday the 28th, bud.
Well, I'm looking at a calendar, and this is Friday the 29th.
Let me see it. Just as I thought, 2003. Thanks.
Wait a second. Just you find a freaking calendar. Well, how come that's still hanging around?
Try throwing it away, man. You got dates all over that calendar. You got, look at that. What is this? Missy, 8 p.m.
I got a date.
In 2003, you got a date. Oh. 1-800-449-8686. Our web address, www.philhenryshow.com. We got a whole new design for our web page that you guys will be seeing very shortly. We're very proud of it, very excited about it. And it's going to make it easier to navigate the web address, the website. Not only that, you can head on over to our souvenir shop and get our CD a lot easier. We get people asking, how do I get the CD? Go to our website. How do I get past CDs? Go to the website. How do I get like a CD from 1997? Go to our website. It's all there, baby. You can buy the whole set if you want at www.philhenryshow.com.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm joined by R.C. Collins, who's a young man from Altadena. Correct, R.C.?
Yes, sir. I'm a cadet at Bradley Military Academy.
And wait, you also have David Hall?
Right here, Phil.
And my understanding is, Bud told me there was, and I knew that we were going to talk a little bit about the name Edith Head.
Yes, sir. As I indicated on your program last night, that was of some concern.
Phil, I would echo that only insofar as I don't know whether it's a problem, but if it is a problem, if it could be a problem, it is a problem. You know how we are in the radio corporate end of things. If we're almost afraid of something, we're afraid of it. So,
all right, so what are we saying?
Well, I contacted Mr. Hall today, and I wanted to know if that's, you know, is that okay?
Is what okay?
Can we say Edith Head?
Yes, you can say Edith Head.
Well, how do you know? You're just a talk show host. What do you think, R.C.?
I don't know, Mr. Hall, I think...
What are you asking him for? He's some kid at a military academy.
Excuse me, I'm talking to a listener. You'll pardon me if I do a little business? Go ahead, sir.
It is a little bit offensive, but then maybe it is not offensive.
Well, that's some clear thinking for you.
Well, look, I got a solution to the problem, and it also, it's something's been bothering me the last 15 minutes. That whole Chinaman bit you did.
I didn't do a Chinaman bit. Now, hold on for a minute. It was the love songs on...
Yeah, it was Rove songs. I found it very offensive because Bob turns into a Chinese guy when the song's on, right? And he's ordering egg noodles or something?
No, he wanted to be taken as an American. That was the whole point of the bit.
I'm a listener, Mr. Hall. Can I weigh in?
Certainly.
I don't get it.
See, the kid doesn't get it. It sucks. Now then, here's what I want to do. I want you to at least warn the listeners when you're about to say someone's name that might be offensive. And to that end, I've asked Bud to install a warning system if an offensive word is going to come up. Specifically, Phil, and there's not too much offensive on the radio that we can't control, but this is a very, as the young man indicated, a gray area. The name Edith Head could...
Will you, if you draw attention to it...
Can I finish? Would it be all right with you if I finish, or are you going to go into a speech?
Wait a minute, I want to make a point. If you're drawing attention to something ridiculous like that...
Excuse me, could I... You know, I hate to butt in, I'm just the boss.
Mr. Hall, I just called because I was concerned. I heard Mr. Henry say, oh, Edith Head is 83 years old, and I was offended by that, and I'm young.
See that? He's young and offended.
What do you mean he's young and offended? Edith Head is a costume designer in Hollywood.
Yeah, I know. She's some old broad that made costumes. What I'm trying to say is we could get into some trouble with the FCC. So what I'm asking you to do is if you say the name Edith Head... Bud, have you got the warning system?
I got it right here, Mr. Hall.
Go ahead, talk about her.
Who?
That broad.
What broad?
The old bat we're talking about.
Oh, okay. Edith Head today was the... What is that?
That's the warning system. That also is payback for the Chinese bit.
I think it's great, Mr. Hall.
Thank you. I don't hear anything, Phil. Dead air is a bad thing.
Wait a minute. I'm going to get this right.
What do you like? Don't you laugh at me.
I'm not laughing at you, man. I'm not laughing at you.
Well, what are you laughing at?
Payback for the Chinese bit?
I don't want trouble with the FCC. So when you read the name, pause so Bud can hit the gong.
Well, what does the gong do?
It warns people that something bad's coming up. That way they can turn the radio off and get kids out of the room.
Oh, you got to be putting me on.
Hey, listen, let me tell you something, pal. You know what the FCC's hitting people with these days? $50,000, $60,000, $100,000 fines. I don't have Les Moonves kind of money, okay? I'm not wired in.
Yeah, Mr. Hall, because I'm young, I get offended.
You hear that? The kid's young and he gets offended.
You're being manipulated.
Don't argue with me. Do it.
Edith Head is 83 years old today.
All right, read the other sample stories I gave you.
You got to be kidding me with this one.
Which one?
Mr. Potato Head.
You hit it. Hit it, Bud, you idiot. Hit it. What did you do?
What?
You said it without the gong.
What?
Mr. Potato. Hit it, Bud. Hit it, Bud, you retard. Hit it. Hit it. Hit it, you idiot.
Hey, Bud, why ain't you hitting the gong?
It's taking a long time to get re-cued.
You're trying to tell me that I'm not allowed to say Mr. Potato.
Don't you do it until the gong's queued up.
I hit it too many times or something. It's all messed up. I'm going to have to go back to DigiCart and fix everything.
You know something, bud? Let me do it, okay? I got the gong button right here.
All right, so you do this. Don't hit the gong now, you jackass!
Well, will you turn it off, bud? Just turn the gong off, okay? Is it off?
It's off now.
I can't believe we're going through this. And what do you mean the gong's for payback on a Chinese bit?
I told you I don't want you offending minorities. Now you gotta hear a gong. You'll be reminded of Chinamen until the day is ended.
I'll be reminded of Chinamen, and I'm offensive, huh?
All right, go ahead.
Mr. Potato Head is a children's toy that many kids may find fun to play with.
Good, okay. Now, let's say you're doing a news story, and, bud, have you got the copy?
Right here, that name right there.
Yeah, okay. I got it.
You got it?
Yeah.
All right, let's say the guy croaked.
All right. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're very sorry to hear that saxophonist David Fat Head Newman died, which he didn't really, folks.
Yeah, let people know he didn't really croak. We're just doing fake news stories. Okay, it's in place. So every time something like this comes up, we got the gong. That is a way of saying sorry to the Chinese, and it's also a way of warning people that we may say the word head.
Thank you, Mr. Hall. As a young listener to the station, I feel very taken care of.
You're welcome, young man.
What are you shrugging your shoulders?
I don't know. He just told me to get the gong ready. I don't know. It's not my idea.
That's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life, and I got to put up with this crap. And who's this punk kid, R.C.?
You had him on the show last night. He said Edith Head made him, it bothered him.
Edith Head? Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Edith Head? What is this, man? The guy calls up with some stupid freaking thing like that. Get out of here with all this crap.
You're going to be sorry. They'll fire you.
I don't care if they do. What's this?
Just some ideas that I had about other things.
You want me to hit the gong every time I say the name Dick Van Dyke. Is that it?
Yeah, also Dick Butkus, because that's bad.
Oh, why don't you? 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the Phil Hendry's show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Also, our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com. A little bit of email that we had this evening. And here's one from a lady named Karen Spaminato. She says, my husband says that the call-in people who sound outraged at your bits are real callers. I say it's all scripted. Please set one of us straight. Thank you for writing. Moving on. No. Your husband's right, baby. I don't know what to tell you. Don't mean to call you baby. There are a lot of women that hate this show. I mean, and there are a lot of women that like the show, but there's the wives are the ones that, you know, I get more email from guys, my wife won't let me listen to your show, this, that, this, and that. I know. The problem is we're a humor-impaired country these days. You wouldn't know it with all the comedy shows, but if you look at the comedy that is out there right now, it's all pasteurized. It's been boiled down. What passes for satire, as I mentioned last night, is a show like Jon Stewart. It's a funny show. It's not satire. Satire is too dangerous. Satire is not allowed in America. Not without the risk of losing your job. Not without the risk of losing your job. So comedy, while you may think it's in a heyday of sorts, satire is not, nor has it ever been. I mean, look at the great satirists. Lenny Bruce. Guess where he wound up? Dead on a bathroom floor with a needle hanging out of his arm.
Wasn't that his fault?
I guess that part was, yeah. But by then, they'd taken his cabaret license. The guy couldn't work because the cat was saying stuff that nobody wanted, right? The reason why I bring this up is Chris and I were talking. We said, you know, I mean, kids now have cartoons. Where are the funny cartoons? I mean, I'm just curious. Where are the funny cartoons? Funny ones, all right? I realize there's really cool cartoons. Japanese anime, yeah, I get it already, okay? Far out. But where's, like, the laughs, man? Where are the cartoons that are just goofy-ass stuff? And I'm not talking about that lame attempt at recreating Looney Tunes that Spielberg did. Remember that Tiny Toons turd? Oh, every time I'd see that on TV, I just would want to take a razor blade to my neck because it would remind me of really good cartoons. In other words, he's trying to make it look like a time when stuff was really funny, and it ain't. And all you want to do is get an old rusty railroad spike and just sign the letter, leave a note on the kitchen table, go outside and drive it into your throat. So there's no real funny cartoons. What made those Warner Brothers cartoons great is because they did satirize contemporary society. They had Hitler characters in there. They had Tojo characters. Can you imagine, dude? Any cartoonist doing that now, man? It's not, you know, we are not allowed to laugh in this country. We are not allowed to laugh. Even something like, for instance, Air America, which their slug line ought to be, "Hear Al Franken as you've never heard him before. Not funny." Even those guys who call themselves, who have the audacity to call themselves progressive, you get fired if you get on that network and say anything that hasn't been approved by Der Führer, Der Franken. Heil Franken. Right? I mean, it's total fascism. It's total media fascism, right? So, why am I talking about this, bud?
I don't know. I don't care.
Chris, why am I talking about this?
You were reading an email.
Why didn't you know that, bud?
I can't remember.
Well, I forget. So let's just move on.
Oh, that's great.
About not being allowed to laugh anymore.
Well, I don't know. I forget the email I was reading, but it had to do with
the couple that was disagreeing.
Oh, the woman and her husband. Yeah. Oh, I was talking about women. Yeah, okay. The women don't dig the show, and I'm not saying that they, you know, women laugh at relationship stuff. They don't laugh at, you know, they're not into Three Stooges, I suppose. I don't know what it is. I do know that we have some female fans, and I've always chalked it up to this one thing. Women who like this show are used to the company of men in a non-courtship, non-sexual, non-traditional social way. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, any woman that likes this show, I guarantee you, grew up with a lot of brothers, hung around a lot of boys in the neighborhood when she was a kid, probably a little bit of a tomboy. I'm not saying she's a lesbian. A lot of them, you know, women are straight who are tomboys. So that's frankly, the kind of woman that listens to our radio show. She's a woman who's used to the company of men in a rather equal environment, not non-sexual environment. She's used to the company of men. She appreciates them and understands their humor and laughs at the same stuff. It's just as simple as that. The women that don't like this show are their traditional relationship with men is just that. It's traditional. It's a courtship, sexual, you know, marriage, boyfriend, girlfriend thing. It's got nothing to do with men as friends. You ever shot pool with a chick? You know, there's always that girl in the neighborhood. And then she was like the sexy one. And the guys, every guy wanted her, but they didn't know how to approach her because she was like not like other chicks. She was actually cool. That's the Phil Hendry Show female listener. I thank you.
Now that's a way to wrap it up.
Thanks. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. One 800 449 8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Tsunami Sam's going to be with us in a moment. To what is this? A blues version of Hail of the Chief?
Yeah, it'll be pretty good.
Is he Tsunami Sam this week? Because last week he was Mudslide Sam.
Or what weather do we have right now?
Sunshine.
Or we'll call him Sunny Sam.
Sunny Sam. Why doesn't he just stick with one name? Stephanie, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil.
How are you?
I'm great. I just wanted to say I love your comments you made about your female listeners.
Uh-huh.
And you need to make fun of Tom Likas more because that cracks me up.
Comb over boy?
Oh, I love it.
Okay. Are you one of these females that had a lot of guy friends?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of lonely.
What do you want, bud?
Ask her.
I will not ask her that.
Go ahead.
He wants to know if you're a lesbian.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm sick right now.
Oh, you're sick?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you're listening to us. I appreciate it very much. Feel better.
I will.
Okay.
Thank you. More comb over boy.
You got it. Bye. It's probably somebody he dumped. Now then, get him in here, bud.
Come on in here.
How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing real good, Miss Henry. Thank you so much for having me on your program tonight. I wanted to, I have a blues version of Hail of the Chief I want to do.
A blues version of Hail of the Chief. Okay, go ahead.
All right, this is dedicated to George Bush. I hope he enjoyed it. I hope the president enjoys it because he is a, I think he's a good man. You know, I think his heart is in the right place.
Well, I do too, sir.
All right, this is for George Bush.
Well, 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 well. Well, well.
When the moon is in the seventh.
What are you doing? Don't it?
Get him out of here.
You racist, man.
Yeah, I'm a racist. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.